Hafa Day, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
The battle's not mine. The battle's not our army. The battle's not our nation. The battle's yours. And when you transfer your focus from horizontal to vertical, you will end up seeing incredible ways that God will end up ministering through you.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
Do you remember this story of David? Now, the last couple of messages has been the start of, which will continue, the life of David. This real-life drama with spiritual life applications. In the introduction, very simply, there's no greater story that's recognized by more people than this really ancient Polaroid moment. The narrative is familiar, but really no less fascinating and factual. And I don't want you to get lost in the familiarity of the story, but I do believe there are four powerful life lessons I've mentioned to you as our church many, many times. When you read the scriptures, you've got three questions. Number one, what did it say when it was written? Number two, what does that mean to us today? And number three, what does that mean to me? As I read the passage, it's pretty factual about all the events that took place, and it's kind of straight up. But why did God put that in Scripture? Among other things, it's for our learning. What can we learn from that? Just the facts that, you know, this has happened, and this young boy took care of this big guy, and there you go. The fact is that for you and I today, when you look at God's Word, there are principles that you can draw from, truths, as I would look at as Davidic dynamics. When you say, what's the dynamic of how things unfolded that make application to us today? Is it much different that you and I would end up facing our own Goliaths, our own difficulties, our own struggles? And how do we end up handling those? I think it'll be able to help you today because for most people, listen to me, for most people spiritually and in their own lives, they have huge, huge Goliath-sized problems, and they are not sure what to do. And they're standing there as uncertain about what to do as those soldiers were with Israel, saying, I don't know what to do. And unfortunately, the very king himself, who do you remember, was head and shoulders above everybody else. Who's the biggest guy? Because they got a big guy. We got a big guy. Why don't you go get him? Saul and his insecurity and his own fear, no way. Well, besides the fact, I'm the king. You guys are the soldiers. You go get them. What do you end up learning from all of this? And make some observations. Maybe they help, really, life lessons. Number one, you'll end up finding, very simply, that obedience to God could lead you into greater conflict. David was right in the center of God's will. God had said through his own father, David, I want you to get out there, check on your three brothers. They're out in the battle. He brings them food. And David finds himself now moving in obedience, but out of that obedience, he finds greater and greater conflict. If we stop there, it could be depressing. But you realize that second observation as we look at the life of David on this Polaroid moment, you find number two, that it's not the size of our enemy or our problem. It's the size of our weapon that God says is where the focus is. Because you end up looking at the passage, you realize that David ended up having this huge enemy. And he is a perfect illustration in that day in which it was reality. You had a whole army for 40 days, this has been going on, of someone that was saying, I'm opposed to your God. Now, I would say to you, the simple application is for you and I, there is regular Goliaths that go on in our own life. And there is a whole world that is totally opposite what you as a Christian would stand for. And you can't end up trying to come along and buddy up to a Goliath. They are not wanting what you have to offer. and you are not trying to say, I'm going to end up coming alongside of you and being just like you so that I can end up defeating you, because it won't work. God loves to take the biggest enemy and take the smallest thing he has possible and use to defy man's logic. Many times, what is so logical becomes so untheological. I mean, what logic is there to take the 16-year-old kid and say, listen, here's this sling, and you go out and you kill that guy? And as obvious as that may be, that's so often the case you end up finding that God himself takes our own weakness and our own small parts we have to offer, and God says, I will use you. You are a nobody, but you can become my somebody if you would be in a place to step out in obedience and do what I've asked you to do. Notice number three, not only the fact that obedience to God could lead you into greater conflict, and it's not the size of our enemy, but the size of our weapon, but you also find in verse 29 that David made some powerful statements among them in verse 29 when David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? He turned, verse 30, to another person, spake after the same manner. And those people answered him and said, and the former, you know what it says to me? You do not live for a cause, but the cause. You end up finding David expressing it in Psalms 29. You end up finding in Colossians 1:18, Paul said that he might have the preeminence. You see, David started asking hard questions, and his future confidence was coming from those past victories, because David realized, even as he said that in a statement, that as he went on to tell Saul in the privacy of that tent, listen, here's what happened in the past. I took care of this lion, this bear. I can certainly do this with this big galoot. Well, that's not says in Hebrew there, but that's what he's saying. Hey, you know what? Why should I end up fearing about this guy? And if it wasn't about his cause, which is why Eliab was impressing to others, listen, he's got agendas here. There was no agenda. There was one motive. I'm living for the cause of Almighty God. And it was driving David to do what he was doing that many times was illogical, stepping out of the crowd. You're different. And God was saying, listen, David, you step out by faith. I'll use you. You're not working for a cause, but the cause, my cause. And I'm saying to you, it doesn't matter what particular vocation you're in. If you're living for the cause of Christ, it's not just your purpose driven. Paul said it. You're a person driven by a person, a living Christ, a Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it gives great confidence to know that God will use what you end up giving. You don't end up, as the passage goes on with David now, and you find in verse 37 that David said, listen, these are what I've done in the past. He'll deliver me out of the hand. David himself knew, I don't have a cause. That's why David didn't need to feel burdened about verse 39 when he took on the sword and took on Saul's armor and said, I can't go with these. I've never used these before. I'll just use what God's given to me, what I feel comfortable with. And is that not a simple illustration again of the fact that God gifted you what you have? You use what God's given to you at your point in time in life. And ultimately, you don't have to imitate anybody. So many times it happens where we think, well, so-and-so, look at them, how God's using them. And we get more impressed about trying to imitate somebody rather than saying, God, I want to end up being used by you. Some of you, God's gifted you in some amazing ways operationally and functionally and relationally. And you got to say, God, you know what? You're going to take me from where I was and be able to use all of this, because I don't have a cause, my own little agenda. I've got a cause you put into my life when you saved me. And when that happens, my friend, things change. Your life changes. It takes on new meaning, takes on new purpose. And it involves your own decisions. And I'm going to tell you when that happens, very simply, if I step back from just look at what we've looked at in these three observations, for some of you, God is going to use you in greater measure as your obedience to Him is step by step by step. Because if you step back from this whole passage, very simply, why did God use David in this passage? And what happened out of all this? Because very simply, God took somebody, as it was with David. And you know what David did? David not only killed the Goliath, but David solved a problem. And the nation had a problem. You know the problem was? This guy is not just wanting to kill us and take over our properties, but he's defying our God. And every time you step out and you want to take on new leadership, you know the quickest way to gain leadership? As David gained leadership, as we end up finding over the passages to come, he gained leadership because he solved a problem. God's way. If you gain nothing else, understand, God, do you want to use me in a greater way? Help me to solve somebody else's problem your way. Hey, on a very practical note, some of you in business, you want to end up gaining leadership and greater responsibilities? By God's way, you solve a problem. That's how you solve a problem. And when you solve a problem God's way, God said, I'll elevate you in leadership. And the true test of where you're going to be in your leadership is not based on what the outward is, but on you being a man after God's own heart, a woman after God's own heart. You might be that teenager. You say, you know, I don't have much to offer. And you might not have much to offer. But what you do, as it did with David, God, here's my stone, here's my sling, here's what I want to do for you. Because ultimately, notice verse 47, he made it in this statement as well, a powerful statement. I underlined my Bible years ago, verse 47, when he tucks the statement in, and David made the statement, and all the assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for notice, underline it, the principle, for the battle is the Lord's. He'll give it into your hands. And on that basis of truth, he stepped out and said, God, I'm going to do this. The battle's not mine. The battle's not our army. The battle's not our nation's. The battle's yours. And when you transfer your focus from horizontal to vertical, you'll end up seeing incredible ways that God will end up ministering through you. Because ultimately, you're not living for a cause. It's the cause. And you're trying to solve problems God's way, that God would elevate you. If you understand all of that, let me close with this fourth life lesson. Really, a Davidic dynamic that will influence your life. And number four, notice that your obedience can encourage others in the future. Because upon David's obedience and the slaying of the Goliath, David prevailed over the Philistine. And notice, as I could read Philip Keller, who made a powerful statement to explain this particular event, which all the armies are watching, the event that's taking place, this big guy and this little dwarf, David and Goliath. And when the event took place, Keller explains it this way, with a rush, like a leopard leaping to the attack, David launched himself on that hill towards Goliath. The sling whistled ominously as he whirled it over his head. Then the thong was released. The stone struck. The next instant, that giant crashed down the slope, face forward. The blood spurted from that skull, shattered by the rock. It was as if he had been struck by a bullet. David rushed up to that prostrate form as Goliath's armor bearer fled in panic. Picking up that giant's massive sword, he severed his head. In triumph, David stood upon that huge hulk. The battle was over. The daring deed was done. It was an instant of intense elation for all Israel. And what all of Saul's military might have been unable to achieve, a single shepherd had done with the simple faith in God.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.